Well, hi, and welcome to the Grace Christian Church podcast with Pastor Rob Parlente. Grace Christian Church is a contemporary, non-denominational church meeting right here in Manalpin, New Jersey. We meet Sundays, 10 a.m. at the Manalpin Community Center.
We have fellowship time following the service, and we have group times. So welcome. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're with us. So, the title of my message this morning is, What's Your Offer? What's your offer? And we're going to kind of look at the second half of Romans chapter 6, 12 to the end, 23. But the main verse I want to highlight is Romans 6, verses 12 to 13. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there and we'll kind of look at that today. A couple of points. I will never forget back in the year 2000 when me and my wife had to make a decision. And the decision was that we were going to move. We were going to move from where we currently lived, which was in North Jersey, Bergen County. And, we couldn't afford to live there. It was very expensive. Property taxes were high. We had a small little home. I think it was about 1,200 square feet.
Not even.
I'm exaggerating. It's about 1,200. With three kids. So can you imagine having three kids? And I tell this story a lot because my oldest kid, he was about, seven or eight, and we had to say to him, I'm putting you in the basement. It's your bedroom. And he was, I don't want to go in the basement. He was crying all the time. So we had him in the basement, right?
Yes.
So we had to get out. Mm-hmm. And we were searching, and we were asking the Lord for guidance, and then I ended up getting a new job. You know, and my job was ended up being in Union, which is south of where we were. And I remember asking the Lord back then, we said, okay, Lord, where do you want us to move? You know, and I remember putting a radius around that area, and I said, Lord, where do you want us to go? You know, I didn't like the commute, because, you know, the Garden State Parkway back then was not good to commute, and it's even worse today. So it was taking me, I think, about an hour and 15, 20 minutes to go to work, you know. So I didn't want to do that anymore, so I didn't want to waste 3 hours a day on the road, amen? So I said, Lord, where do you want us to go? So we decided we were going to look south of where I worked, which is where we are today in this area, Monmouth County. And we hired a realtor. And the realtor was a wonderful realtor that we worked with around this area. And she would call us and say, there's a wonderful house. She said wonderful all the time. What a wonderful house on the market. We got to come down and see it. And Laura would be like, Rob, it's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You got to run down and we got to see it. So we get in the car. We run down. We cruise down here. And then we look. Oh, we don't like the house. You know, we saw one house with shag carpet from 1970. It's like orange. Remember? It's like, I don't want that house. But then she called us one time and she showed us a house that we both walked in and the Spirit both said to us, this is what we want. And that was the house we're in now. And he said, the Lord said, you know, guided us to say, this is what I want you here, you know. Yeah. And we made an offer. We went back to the realtor's office and made an offer. And boy, I tell you, I was very nervous there. I had a lot of anxiety because this is what was happening. I was moving from both our families, right, because we grew up there, all our friends, our church, the familiarity of the place, knowing everything, knowing the restaurants, knowing everything, to a new place, you know. So it was kind of like getting out of your comfort zone and moving to a new location and starting new. And that was very anxiety-filled for me. And I remember it all took place in about an hour and a half, right? You make the offer, you go to the realtor's office, you sign the papers. We make the offer, and the woman, we took our offer and said, yes, we'll give you the house, amen. Even though other folks bid the house higher than us, but she liked us, and the Lord connected us. But I got out of my comfort zone there. I did something different. I made an offer on a house that wasn't familiar to me. But now, looking back 20 years almost now, I know the Lord had us here for this reason, to be here today where we're standing, you know, in this township. I have a house and a ministry here. It's from him. He worked this all out. But you know what? I could have not offered on that house, right? I could have been paralyzed with fear and anxiety and said, you know, I'm going to stay where I was, right? I had to make a choice to be in the same familiar setting, let's say, or to something new, something that's different. A new location, everything new. And brothers and sisters, I want to say this. I see the same kind of dynamic in the spiritual realm. Because we can offer ourselves, in a sense, to the old thing, their old ways of thinking, or an old way, or we can offer ourselves in a new way, and that is to God. In other words, I could have stayed in my old house in fear and never moved forward and been paralyzed by all these things, you know? And I was upset and scared because I didn't know what to do, the Lord was going to do. How can I pay my bills? How can I furnish the house? I remember all the bills coming in, we're wondering, oh no, no more money for the bills. And we charged up stuff on the credit card, which I would never recommend to furnish the house. But the choice was either we offer on the new house, or we don't, and we stay confined in an old way, an old system, in an old area that was familiar and comforting. But I see the same thing in the spiritual realm. We can offer ourselves to God as something new, or we can offer ourselves to the old and familiar, which I'm going to say is old patterns of thinking or old patterns of sin that we have developed up to our point of salvation, because we all have it, brothers and sisters. So that's the whole idea today in this message. We're going to look at what you're offering. And we're going to look at Romans 12, 6, 12 to 23, that the choice we have, a day-by-day, moment-by-moment choice, to offer ourselves to this thing called sin, and I'll explain that. Sin, residual thinking, old sin patterns in our life, or offer ourselves to God. It's a day-by-day, moment-by-moment choice where to offer ourselves, or present ourselves, if we look at the passage today. Two-point message. So I'm going to read Romans 6, 12 and 13 as one of the main verses, and then we'll start the message. So if you have your Bibles, follow along. I'm reading from the NASB version. Verse 12 says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Let's bow our heads and pray. Thank you, Lord, for the scriptures and what we've learned so much and so far in this book of Romans by Paul. It's my prayer today that you would open our hearts and open our minds to really understand that we have a choice every day, moment by moment, to offer ourselves to old patterns, old ways of thinking, or to offer ourselves to you. I pray, Lord, we make the decision to offer ourselves to you, and you can work in us and through us, Lord. That's what you want. You don't manipulate us. You don't twist our arms. You just want us to come to you and offer ourselves to you so you can work in us and through us. I pray, Lord, we make that decision today as you speak through me to the audience here, listening online and sitting here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, it all starts with the gospel, right? Every week, I've been saying this, and I want to really drill this point home. What is the gospel? The gospel is clearly stated in 1 Corinthians 15, 3-4. It says this, for I delivered to you as first importance what I also received, that Christ died for sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. So it's really three points there. Christ died for our sins, Christ was buried, and Christ was resurrected. And when we believe that, we have eternal life. Amen? That's the gospel. That's an offer of spiritual life to man. Okay? So the whole book of Romans unfolds what's under the gospel, what the gospel means. Because that's, on the surface, what it is, but it means a lot in our lives underneath that. So you know what? We looked at Romans 1, 16 and 17 as the theme verse. Circle in your Bibles. The theme verse of the book. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of this wonderful gospel that gives life, Paul says, right? Then we looked at chapter 2, verse 4. The idea there was God's goodness and grace leads men to repentance through a change of mind. His grace does. Okay, Paul's working us through these chapters, right? Chapter 3, we looked at all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Men, compared to God, are sinful. God gave man the law so man would see they could never measure up to God's holiness. Paul points that out in that verse. And he also says, you're justified, you're made right by faith in the gospel and what it says, right? Then he looked at, Paul said, I'm going to look at Abraham. What was Abraham all about? Old Testament saint. You know what? He was saved the same way, by faith. Amen? We looked at Romans 5:17, that the whole world is under sin because of Adam. Remember, Adam sinned in the garden, but then there's also sin reigned because of Adam. But then we said also, grace reigns through Christ. There's another way. And then last week we looked at Romans 6:5, that we're united with Christ in his death, and we're united with him in his resurrection. Boy, that's a lot of stuff, amen? And it's all those messages, go online and listen to them up till now. There was, I think, six. This is the seventh. So we get up to this point, Romans 6:11, right before this verse 12, Paul says this, "Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." And the word was reckoned in King James. Consider yourself dead to sin. Brothers and sisters, what is that sin? That's the power of sin. It is such a wonderful, awesome truth that when we have died and we're resurrected with Christ, we are dead to sin. We are dead to the power of sin. Now we have a choice not to sin. That's a big deal, and I've told this last week, I'll say it again. Nobody told me that for 15 years of my Christian life. Nobody told me I didn't have to succumb to that, those habitual sins. And I have sins, and we all do, okay? But Paul makes it a fact. We are no longer, enslaved to it. We're dead to sin. But now he says he comes up to another point. Get that, he's saying, get that established in your mind. Get that established in your thinking. You're dead to sin, period. But now he says, now you have a choice. And that's verse 12. Now you have a moment-by-moment choice to choose two things. You can choose an old way of thinking, or you can choose a new way of thinking. You can offer yourself to the old way of thinking before you were saved. That's ingrained in your members, ingrained in your mind, or you can offer yourself to God in a new way. And this is what he says. He says, you have a choice too. I'm going to read it. Verse 12 and 13a. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to look through all these verses, and I'm first going to show you how Paul actually shows you both sides of a coin. He shows you heads and tails. He says, do not let sin reign, and then he tells you what to do. But I'm going to give you all offering ourselves to sin verses first, and then we'll go to the other verses. Beginning of 12 and then 13 says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, so you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. Now that you know you're dead to sin, you're dead to the power of sin, he says two do nots. Do not let sin reign, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin. Okay? Now, we already established that we are under grace. Amen? Grace reigns. We are in the new covenant. We don't have to obey the lusts of the flesh, okay? We are in death by Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. We are under grace and the new covenant. He's saying, don't let it rain. Well, first off, we're under grace. It's not going to rain if you understand you're under grace in the new covenant. But then he says, don't go on presenting your mortal bodies to this thing called sin, okay? You know why? Because he says you will do what? You will be instrument of unrighteousness. I want to clarify one thing. What does he mean by being instrument of unrighteousness? By faith, we have already established in Romans 3 and 4, we are righteous by faith, correct? It's established fact. You can't lose it. You've been made right. You have the Holy Spirit. But you know what? We can still sin and express unrighteousness. We can still do that. Better go. Battery? I'm out.
Oh, no.
See how the even one works.
Can you use your hand mic?
Yeah, battery, right? Two double A.
I couldn't see.
Did you go or was it just a box?
Yep. How's this? Pull like this.
Does it work, guys? Hey,
put it on. Turn it on, huh? Switch.
That's
much better.
What was I saying? You know what? We are righteous by faith, amen? We are righteous by faith, and God says here that when we present ourselves to old ways of thinking, we express unrighteousness. When we present ourselves to old, habitual patterns of sin, we We express unrighteousness. Now, he's saying, offer yourself. Offer yourself. Now, what does it mean by offer or present? You know what? Present or offer or yield, is he's saying here, is offer yourself to God. Offer your members. But what he's saying, don't offer it to sin. Don't let it reign. Now, this sin specifically is, I'm going to call it residual sin or old patterns of sin. You know what? In our life, and growing up, before we were saved, before salvation, the Lord wants to correct the things in our minds that we've had wrong thinking on. Amen. And through life, you know, we've developed patterns of thinking that are based on the evil one, based on things that happened to us, traumatic events in our life. And God's saying, he's saying here, we'll take a second here and put this back on.
It's hot. I turned it off.
How's that sound? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's funny, I'm going to tell you, every time I preach a message on Romans 6,
always.
Satan does not like it.
That's true.
It's true.
Always.
Every time.
Always.
And I've been doing this for many years. Right? But we're talking about offering ourselves, right? Presenting, or the word offer, present, yield, that word there, is saying, you know what, I'm going to offer myself to this one or two things, to this old thinking, this sin pattern, or I'm going to offer myself to God. But these old patterns are ingrained in our minds, okay? But that has been broken. We don't need to do that. We are free from that, okay? So Paul says in the rest of this chapter of 6, we're going to look at all the results of offering ourselves to old patterns of sin. I'll start with this and say this. Romans 6:16 says this. Do you not know when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one who you obey, either of sin resulting in death or obedience resulting in righteousness. Paul has this idea of being a slave. We present ourselves to the old way of thinking, to residual sin, to old patterns of sin. We're enslaved to it. But he's saying, you've been broken. It's been broken. But we can offer ourselves to God. We can offer ourselves to him as a righteous child of God, and we can be controlled by him. So we can be a slave to sin, or we can be a slave, in a sense, to God. Okay? What's going to control us? The old pattern? The old way of thinking, or a new way? God says, come to me, offer yourself to me, and I will show you the way. Romans 6, 19b says, wonderful, wonderful verse. It's verse, second part. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness. I want you to catch this. When we present our members as slaves to impurity, we present our members to old ways of thinking, we present our members to this thing, residual sins, it results in this thing called lawlessness, right? And further lawlessness. What is lawlessness? Webster says, widespread wrongdoing, a disregard for rules, and authority. Brothers and sisters, when we present ourselves to that, we're downward spiraling in sin. That's what we're doing. We're downward spiraling in sin. The result is the same. You know, an unsaved person has no other choice but to do that. Amen? They need Christ. But we don't, as a believer, the power of sin is broken. But if we keep presenting ourselves, offering ourselves that old thinking, it still controls us. It results in lawlessness. It does, brothers and sisters. Because we are in a war. We are in a spiritual war. You cannot deny it. You cannot put your head in the sand. It's the truth. There is somebody else that promotes lawlessness, and that is this guy called the man of lawlessness. Who's that? Satan. The man of lawlessness is the evil one, and he is Satan. He talks about that in Thessalonians. I'm not going to get into this whole thing about end times, but 2 Thessalonians 2:3 says, let no one in any way deceive you. It will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. The evil one is called the man of lawlessness. Just realize that. Remember that. 2 Thessalonians 2, 7, the beginning says, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. You know, there's a lawlessness at work today in this world, okay? And what's he up to? What's his game plan? His game plan is to keep the unsaved from hearing the gospel, what I just told you. He's going to keep the unsaved from getting anywhere near hearing about Christ, blocking it. He's going to hinder every approach, anybody that goes to them, to be taken away so they don't hear the truth. But once, if a person does receive him, his second ploy is to keep that person offering themselves to sin for further lawlessness. Do you see that? That's his ploy. That is his ploy, and it is real. But we have won the battle because of the cross, amen? He can't, we can dispel those thoughts with new thoughts from Christ, okay? He wants us to think that God doesn't love us. He wants us to think God will punish us. He wants us to think we're in the old covenant, or we're in the new covenant. He wants us to think we're under law, but we're under grace. He wants to think nothing will ever change. Keep doing that. Keep submitting yourself to the familiar old sin so you remain in a downward spiral and you can't be a witness for him and God can't work in your life. That's his game. Guys, we have to be smart. Paul lays it out. Don't offer yourself to it. Don't offer yourself to it. Offer yourself to God. You know what? That's what God wants. That's what he wants. And I'll give you this illustration. I just said it, okay? You know what? Ministry of grace. I've been doing this a long time, right? Most of us. Preaching this 15 years, easy, right? Whenever I preach Romans 6, something happens. Hey, my mic just went out. Is that a coincidence? No. Mm-hmm. Right? So those folks don't hear what I had to say, right? To confuse it, the message a little bit. I'm trying to get back on track, amen? And I hope you understand. Yes, he just steps up the attacks. He tries to discourage it because he does not want man to know they've died to sin. The power of sin is broken, and now they have a choice to be a powerhouse for God. Amen. He doesn't want you to know it. He wants to keep unbelievers and believers in lawlessness. He whispers in our ears, offer yourselves to everything else but God, because God can't come through for you. And I'm Paul saying, yes, he can come through for you. Just offer yourself to him. It's your choice. Okay? Why do we keep offering ourselves to old patterns? Why? You know why? Because it's familiar. It's familiar. It's comfortable. God says, no, it's not comfortable. You see the result of it? Mm-hmm. See the result of it? There's nothing there. It's dead. He wants you to stay there, but God says, come to me. Offer yourself to me. Present yourself to me. You won. I won the battle for you at the cross. You died. You were resurrected to new life in Christ. You have a new spirit. I can work in you. You won.
Amen.
Okay? Then Paul, verse 21 and verse chapter 6 says, therefore, what benefit were you then deriving the things from which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. You know what Paul's saying there? What benefit is it for you to keep offering yourself to the old sins and old patterns of thinking? What is the benefit? There is no benefit, okay? Except feeling ashamed and suffering the consequences of that old pattern of thinking, but there's a new way. Don't offer yourself to sin. Don't offer yourself to the old pattern. Offer yourself to God. There's a much, much, much better way, okay, and a better choice. Offer yourself. Present yourself to God. Now, Romans 6:13, second part of that verse from the beginning, I said, the positive part of it. But present yourself to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. The choice is to present yourself alive, because you are alive spiritually. You've been raised with him. And your members, your body, as instruments of righteousness. Amen. You know what? You are alive from the dead. You are alive from the dead. Why sin? We are alive from the dead. Why present yourself to the old way when you've died to that? And then in verse 14 of chapter 6, he says, for sin, again, says it again, for sin shall not have master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Sin doesn't have master over you. Do you see that? You know the answer to all these problems, addiction problems, is Christ. You can't break an addiction in the self. It's Christ. Sin shall not have master over you. Amen? Christ does that. When you've been risen with him and believe in him, it's cut, it's severed. That's the answer, brothers and sisters. It's not some worldly modification of your behavior. It doesn't work. It's Jesus Christ. It's him. Sin shall not have a master over you, okay? And it's not about law. It's not about keeping rules either, because you are under grace. Now, Paul adds in now. You're not under law, but under grace. And he's saying, you know what? This rule-keeping, this system of achieving, is not going to work either, brothers and sisters. You're not under that anymore. That's not going to help you. You need me. We'll look at that in Romans 7 next week. You know what? You're no longer in a system of achieving, but receiving from God. You are righteous by faith. Amen. That's the thing. We're in the new covenant. I can't believe I say it every week, brothers and sisters. We are not in the old. We are in the new. Why do we mix them? Why do we mix them? We're not in the old. We're in the new. We have indwelt with the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, they didn't have the Holy Spirit. It came and went. It didn't indwell them. We have it. Okay? Paul asks a rhetorical question again, Romans 6:15. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? May it never be. May it never be. You know what? We're under grace. We're not under law. It's not a license to sin, but we'll look at that a little bit later. Romans 16:6-18 says, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed, and having been freed from sin, you became a slave of righteousness. So now Paul says you've been freed from sin, and now in a sense you are a slave of righteousness. You're obedient to that. Now righteousness controls us, and sin doesn't. But it comes down to a choice. It comes down to where you offer yourself. Okay? Present yourself, offer yourself to God, or to the old pattern, to the old sin, to the old habitual sin. You know what? Romans 6:19, that second part of that says, so now present your members as slaves. I love this verse. This hit me years ago. Present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in, what's that word? Sanctification. Present your members as slaves of righteousness, resulting in sanctification. That's one of these theological words we like to throw out in church, right? And most people that are unchurched don't have it, don't understand it. But I'll say what that means. Sanctification means being set apart. And sanctification means growing and maturing and being conformed to the image of Christ in an active sense. What is Paul saying? When we offer ourselves to God as alive from the dead and offer ourselves as slaves of righteousness, what is the result? Your sanctification. Okay? When you offer yourself, you grow. When you offer yourself, he conforms you to his image. When you offer yourself, he works in your life. It's your choice. It's your choice. Offer yourself to God. Offer yourself to him. And he will replace those old patterns of thinking with what is true. Because we all have old patterns of thinking, brothers and sisters. And that controls us. Don't offer yourself. Offer yourself to God. Amen. But the enemy doesn't want you to do that. He doesn't want you to do that. And this is why. Because he knows you have power. Amen. You have power to speak the gospel. Amen. You have power. And he will express himself through you. Amen. People will see Jesus in you when you do that. But what's the process? How do I do it? How do I offer myself to him? I'm going to just give you a couple, what I kind of think, how it works, how I see it in my life. We need to understand, number one, and first off, that God unconditionally loves us, right? God, agape, loves us. Not based on our behavior. We can't lose our salvation. He loves us no matter what. We're under grace. We're under the new covenant. And he is approachable. Number one, he is approachable. Don't let the devil get in your mind and tell you, I can't go to God because he doesn't love me. Not true. Lie from the devil. Right. Don't let the devil tell you that, you know what, I have to perform a certain way for God to approach God. No, that's a lie from the devil. He accepts you. He loves you. You have to approach him. He wants you to approach him. Then he says, offer yourselves to God as alive from the dead. Second point. And say, God, I'm alive from the dead. I'm your child. Okay? I'm a slave of righteousness. I'm yours. Renew my mind. Tell me what's wrong the way I'm thinking. Is there something I'm missing, Lord? Is there something that I'm doing that I'm not, that for some reason I'm holding to that's not true? Give me your truth. And he will do it, brothers and sisters. You know what? His spirit can speak, the Holy Spirit, to your spirit. We look at this. Spirit to spirit, he tells you, he renews your mind. But then, Then we have to say, okay, Lord, I believe it, I trust you, and I depend on you. And when we do that, when I say I believe you, when I depend on you, and when I trust you, I express righteousness. Do you see that? I express righteousness. I'm obedient. I'm holy. You can't do it the other way around. You can't say, I want to be obedient. I want to express all these wonderful traits of God the other way. Okay? It's Him first through you, teaching you, you depending on Him. You can't reverse it. You know what? It's such an awesome thing. He does it, but we have it backwards, all of us in the Christian circles, right? We think we have to perform to be obedient. He says, no, offer yourself to me. Depend on me. Trust me. That's the outcome of that. Amen? That's the flow of that. That's the expression of that, is obedience. It comes naturally. Romans 6:22. Now you've been freed from sin and enslaved to God. You derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. This is how we grow in grace. This hit me years ago. You can't work for God. You can't conform yourself to His image. You can't manipulate your flesh. You grow by offering and presenting yourself to Him as alive from the dead and a slave of righteousness, and He works in your life. That's how it goes. Paul states it here, does he not? Paul clearly states it. Now that you know you have died to sin, offer yourself to Him. That's what he's saying. Not to the old way. Not to the old way of thinking. Now I'll give you a personal illustration for me. Some of you guys know me a long time, right? And of course, can you tell I'm Italian, right? So I grew up in an Italian home. And I love my family and I love my parents and everything. But there's something about the Italian back in the 60s, 70s, 80s that they want everybody in their family to be within 5 miles of their home. Rob, come on. You know what I mean?
I do.
If you move out of the 5 mile circle, you're something's wrong. And here's what goes on. And they worry a lot. You know, and I was brought up in a way there, I actually had a lot of anxiety, I gotta say. I worried about everything. Right? My wife knows when I was younger. Even moving here, I told you I just had a lot of anxiety. So it's really the pattern that was ingrained in me that you can't trust anything. You have to control everything. Okay? So I gotta control all these things, right? I gotta control my job, I gotta control my family, I gotta control all these things. Bill, I'm like, how can I do this? I can't do it. You know? But I was ingrained in me, and that's an old way of thinking, brothers. That's an old pattern of thinking, okay? In a sense, in sin, because all sin is unbelief. So I didn't believe God could do that for me. I had to think I had to do it for me. But it wasn't until, you know, God orchestrated this thing in my life, things in my life where He said, you know what? Your job, your marriage, your kids, your career path, all these things, I'm going to make it so you're going to figure out you can't control it. Try what you want. And he showed me that. And one time I just said to the Lord, you know what? I just broke down. I was weeping. I said, I can't do this anymore. I give up. You take it. You run my life. And he said, yes, I will, Rob. I will run your life. And he ran it ever since. That's before I moved down here. And look at what he's done. Amen. That's what we're talking about. That's offering yourself to him in a way that says, I can't do it anymore, Lord. You do it. You work it out. You teach me. You know what? I'm offering myself. But you have to offer yourself. I could have said, no, I'm going to keep trying and trying and trying to do it my own way. And Lord said, no, Rob, just trust me. Depend on me. I can do it. I'll show you. I am in control. You know what? And I don't have that anxiety anymore. Now, I have a little bit. But not this much. You know. So now I just rest. Okay? But that's the thing. If I didn't offer myself at that time, that's 20 years ago about, I would still be kind of like, you know, not doing too good. But that's not what God says. God says, you know what, offer yourself to me, not to the old pattern, not to the old sin. And that's just one type of sin. But there's other sins, brothers and sisters, that are not, you know, old thinking that we need to, you know, control, or that we don't believe what God says about us. Like we sang today, you know what, he loves us. You know what? If we view ourselves in a negative way, he says, no, I don't. I love you. You're my child. You know, we don't want to believe it. Offer yourself to Him. He will give you the truth, okay? He will give you the truth, amen? It all starts with that. Because if you don't, you're still stuck. You're still going in circles, and you're still going around in that cycle of sin and lawlessness. Amen? That's what it comes down to, an unbelief. So my plea to you today is offer yourself to Him as alive and dead. Amen. You know what? The last verse in Romans 6 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You know what? Wages of sin is death, but He gives us a free gift, and that's salvation, and that's new life. And as a believer, we have an opportunity and a chance to change and work and do things with God's way, not our way. The unsaved, they need Jesus. So what's your offer? What's your offer? Choose the old way? Old way of thinking? Or choose the new way? Offer yourself to the new way, which is God. One results in really lawlessness and unrighteousness. The other results in righteousness and sanctification and growth. Amen. Here's my question to you. What's holding you back if you're being held back? Are you at the end of your rope? Are you saying, "I give up"? You know, it took me years, and I gave up 20 years ago. But I know some people still haven't given up. They still think they can control. They still think they don't believe what God says about them. They still try to hold on. Just offer yourself to Him. That's what He wants. It's a breakthrough. It's a wonderful spiritual breakthrough when that happens. God is waiting for you to offer yourself to Him so you can walk in newness of life and replace that old pattern of sin. And then once He does that, He wants to use you in great ways. But you know what? You have to try. Just say, "Lord, not try. Just choose to offer yourself to Him." He's waiting. He's waiting. He won't twist your arm. But you know what? We have fear of the unknown. We have fear that He won't love us. Don't believe it. That's from the devil. His offer is always there. He never changes. Amen. He wants to offer yourself to Him so He can change your life. That's what Paul's saying. How many Christians are stuck? Many of us stuck because we don't offer ourselves to Him and say, "Lord, I give up. You take it. I believe what you say about me. Okay? I trust you. I love you. I'm going to depend on you as my source of living and no longer depend on myself to live the Christian life." That's what He wants. But you have to offer yourself to Him. You know what? Offering ourselves to sin, we get stuck. The evil one loves that because he wants us there. You know what? He wants us discouraged. He wants us in lawlessness. He wants us in a downward spiral of sin. But when we offer ourselves to God, we grow, we rest, we mature, we express righteousness. Brothers and sisters, this is a wonderful message in Romans 6 that the devil does not want the Christian community to know. Because once you know it, you are powerful, amen, set free. Amen? 15 years, nobody told me about Romans 6 as a Christian. They just told me, do, read your Bible, do this, do that, and make it work. Doesn't work that way, brothers and sisters. Offer yourselves to Him. Mm-hmm. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to close this in prayer, and then we are going to sing the last song. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for working through the details today of the technical difficulties here, Lord, and coming, speaking through me today, Lord. I know it was from you. And I pray, Lord, that the folks hearing this today would really penetrate their hearts to understand these great, wonderful, free truths of Romans chapter 6. You died to sin, and when you offer yourself to God, He works in your life. He just wants you to, Lord, you just want us to offer ourselves to you. It's our choice. We're free from that old sin. We're free from those old ways of thinking. We're free, free, free. You gave us life. We offer ourselves to you as alive from the dead. What a wonderful truth. I pray today that some on the edge might not understand this or not really sure, that they would just plunge in and say, "I trust you, Lord. I offer myself to you." And you show them how real you are, Lord, today. And you free them. And you show them the breakthrough that you want for them. And I pray, Lord, that you would do that today in our midst, and those who hear this on the message today or out in the next few weeks online. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this message. Thank you for giving us spiritual life. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, Rob and I met about 35 years ago, and came into marriage. We'll be married 30 years, and we both came with our shortcomings, our fears, and our anxieties. And it's just amazing that how over the years, when you come to know him and trust him, he causes you to let go of those things and to trust in him. And it's just amazing. And once you take that step, every time something else comes up, it's easier to take that step again and trust him and just say, okay, God, I mean, I never heard of Manalapan before I moved here. Who would have thought? So, you know, God has just been so good. And it's such a simple message. It's like, just trust him with your life. Amen.
Amen.
Let's just close in worship. Taking it from our minds into our hearts. And And when you believe in your mind, sometimes it's hard to take those steps of faith if it's not settled in your heart. And just finding that it's just as easy to walk in error when you only believe something in your mind. Once you believe it in your heart, it's easy to walk in truth and without the battle, without the struggle, Father. And I just thank you for showing us your love and who you are in us, Father God. And I just thank you for your scripture. Romans 6 is just, that is the crux of Christianity, Father. It's just, our death is your death. Your burial is our burial. Your resurrection is our resurrection, Father God. We are in union and perfect union with you spiritually, Father. I pray that that people that know you personally would come to know this truth in their hearts, and that they would just walk wisely and understand that truth, Father, that you would have for your children. I thank you for the message today. I thank you that you've given Rob just wisdom in studying the scriptures and sharing with us what it is that you have for us to learn. And I thank you for this time together. I thank you for each and every person that's here. I thank you for people that listen online, Father, that you would just continue to do your amazing work in our lives as we walk in that manner worthy that you called us to walk in, Father God. And I pray that you dismiss us today with your blessing. In your precious name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
And you are dismissed. Yes, there will be some food.